Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on poison in our food supply when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to only 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, and then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. Now, this globalization may be good for business, but globalization is bad for you, and it's bad for me. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we Americans have a three-day supply of food in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all forever. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a one-year food supply for 3 days or less. Is that good public policy? These Global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. Over the next 50 years, or so reports the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their Global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. And let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for your free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, there are food additive exotoxins. They're called excitotoxins and degenerative brain disorders. Russell L. Blaylock, he's a medical doctor, wrote an article in which he has identified excitotoxins as a cause of these degenerative brain disorders. You know, brain disorders such as, but not limited to, Alzheimer's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and many others. And he says there's a growing number of clinicians and basic scientists who are now convinced that a group of compounds called excitotoxins play a critical role in the development of several neurological disorders, including migraine headaches, seizures, infections, abnormal neural development, certain endocrine disorders, neuropsychiatric disorders, learning disorders in children, AIDS dementia, episodic violence, Lyme borreliosis, hepatic encephalopathy, specific types of obesity, and especially the neurodegenerative diseases, it's a mouthful, neurodegenerative diseases such as ALS, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, Huntington's disease. And I got one in here called something degeneration that I won't even try. Now, that's a mouthful. Now, these are called excitotoxins, and these excitotoxins are used as food additives in the packaged foods and prepared foods that you buy in your supermarket every day. Every day. When you go to the supermarket, you buy foods that contain these excitotoxins, and you don't know it because you don't know what the names of these excitotoxins are. But we're going to tell you what they are and how to identify and avoid them. Now, an enormous amount of both clinical and experimental evidence has accumulated over the past decade supporting this basic premise. And yet the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, still refuses to recognize the immediate and long-term danger to the public, which is caused by the practice of allowing various excitotoxins to be added to the food supply. Excitotoxins such as monosodium glutamate, known as MSG, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, and aspartame. The amount of these neurotoxins added to our food has increased enormously since their first introduction. For example, back in 1948, the amount of MSG added to foods has doubled every decade. By 1972, 262,000 metric tons of MSG were being added to our food supply. Over 800 million pounds of aspartame has been consumed in various products since it was first approved. And ironically, these food additives have absolutely nothing to do with preserving food or protecting the integrity of that food. All of these excitotoxins are used to alter the taste of food. MSG, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, and natural flavoring are used to enhance the taste of food so as to mask disagreeable taste and then to magnify the desired taste. Aspartame is an artificial sweetener that goes by various brand names such as NutraSweet and Equal. These toxins, known in scientific lexicons as excitotoxins, are not present in just a few foods. These toxins are in almost all processed foods. Almost all processed foods contain these excitotoxins, MSG, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, and natural flavoring, along with aspartame. In many cases, they are being added to and in disguised forms, such as natural flavoring, spices, yeast extract, textured protein, soy protein extract, and so on. Let me repeat that. When you look on a package, the MSG, aspartame, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, and natural flavoring are being masked. They're being disguised so that you won't recognize them. So the package says that it has natural flavoring, or it uses the word spices, or the word yeast extract, or the word textured protein, or soy protein extract. Any of those buzzwords are hiding MSG, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, natural flavoring, or aspartame. Experimentally, we know that when subtoxic levels of excitotoxins are given to animals in divided doses, these animals experience the full toxicity. For example, they are synergistic. And also, liquid forms of these excitotoxins, as occurs in soups or gravies or soft drink diet drinks, are far more toxic than that added to solid foods. And this is because they are more rapidly absorbed and they reach higher blood levels in less time. So just what is an excitotoxin anyway? These excitotoxins are substances, usually acidic amino acids, that react with specialized receptors in your brain in such a way as to lead to the destruction of certain types of neurons in your brain. Glutamate is one of the more commonly known excitotoxins, but over 70 have thus far been identified. MSG is the sodium salt of glutamate. Glutamate is a normal neurotransmitter in your brain. In fact, it is the most commonly used neurotransmitter by your brain. Now, the defenders of MSG and aspartame and their use will naturally say, well, now, just how could a substance that is used normally by the brain cause you any harm? Well, the answer is because glutamate is a neurotransmitter, and it exists in the extracellular fluid only in very, very small concentrations, no more than 8 to 12 UM. When the concentration of this transmitter rises above this level, the neurons begin to fire abnormally. At higher concentrations, the cells undergo the specialized process of delayed cell death called excitotoxicity. That is, they are excited to death, literally. Now, it should also be appreciated that the effects of these excitotoxin food additives generally are not dramatic. Some individuals may be especially sensitive and develop severe symptoms and even sudden death from cardiac irritability. But in most instances, the effects are subtle, and they develop over a very long period of time. While the food additives, MSG and aspartame, are probably not direct causes of the neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's disease, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, known as Lou Gehrig's disease, they may well precipitate these disorders and certainly worsen their pathology, as we shall see. Now, it may be that many people with a propensity for developing one of these diseases would never develop a full-blown disorder had it not been for their exposure to high levels of food-borne excitotoxin additives. Many, and some, may have had a very mild form of the disease had it not been for the exposure. Likewise, food-borne excitotoxins may be harmful to those suffering from strokes, head injury, and HIV infection, and certainly should not be used in any hospital setting. So let's take a look here at what we've seen so far. Lou Gehrig's disease just scares the bejesus out of me, and I'm sure it should you. It's a disease that is so horrible that you, the living brain, locked into your head, slowly over a period of time, lose all muscular function until you are reduced to a mere vegetable sitting in your wheelchair, cognizant of everything that's going on around you, but unable to move, unable to speak. And then finally, you're unable to breathe, and it slowly asphyxiates you over a long period of time. Not 1, 2, 5, or 10 minutes, but over days and weeks. Now imagine being slowly strangled to death over days and weeks. I oftentimes wonder at the wisdom of those who say that voluntary suicide ought to be abolished. It would seem to me that someone who is facing that kind of excruciating, long, drawn-out death should have the option of ending it. But I'm not here to philosophize. I'm just here to tell you that's the way it is. What causes Lou Gehrig's disease? Science says, we don't know. But hey, we know what exacerbates it. We know what worsens it. And these excitotoxins are in nearly all of the foods that you buy commercially in the supermarket. This is why I have said over the years, if there's anything in a supermarket fit for human consumption, it is so well hidden and so well camouflaged that I have not been able to find it. And if any of you out there can find anything fit to eat in a supermarket, would you send me a letter or an email and identify that substance, that product for me, would you? Now, here's how these excitotoxins were discovered. Back in 1957, two ophthalmology residents, Lucas and Newhouse, were conducting an experiment on mice to study a particular eye disorder. It was during the course of this experiment that they fed newborn mice MSG and discovered that all demonstrated widespread destruction of the inner nerve layer of the retina. Every single mouse that they fed MSG to demonstrated widespread destruction of the inner nerve layer of their retinas. Now, I can't imagine why anyone would want to eat MSG. Once I have told you that in laboratory experiments with mice, every single mouse, as far back as 1957, this isn't something new, just discovered last week, last month, or last year. It's been around. This information's been there since 1957. And similar destruction was also seen in adult mice, but not as severe as the newborns. The results of their experiment was published in the archives of ophthalmology, and very soon it was totally forgotten. Now, for 10 years prior to this report, large amounts of MSG were being added not only to adult foods, but also to baby foods in doses equal to those of the experimental animals. Then, in 1969, Dr. John Olney, a neuroscientist and neuropathologist working out of the Department of Psychiatry in Washington University in St. Louis, repeated Lucas and Newhouse's experiment. His lab assistant noticed that the newborn of MSG-exposed mice were grossly obese and short in stature. And further examination also demonstrated hypoplastic organs, including pituitary, thyroid, adrenal, as well as reproductive dysfunction. Physiologically, they demonstrated multiple endocrine deficiencies, including TSH, growth hormone, LH, FSH, and ACTH. And when Dr. Olney examined the animal's brain, he discovered discrete lesions of the arcuate nucleus, as well as less severe destruction of other hypothalamic nuclei. Now, recent studies have shown that glutamate is the most important neurotransmitter in the hypothalamus, and since this clear and early observation, monosodium glutamate and other excitatory substances have become the standard tool in studying the function of the hypothalamus, and later studies indicated that the damage by monosodium glutamate was much more widespread, and it included such areas as the hippocampus, circumventricular organs, and locus coeruleus, amygdala, and the limbic system, subthalamus, and the striatum. Now, all of those are brain sections, using big words and odd terms to describe the destruction of brain tissue. You know, to put it simply, monosodium glutamate kills cells, and it kills cells in your brain. And then we wonder about Alzheimer's disease and AIDS, dementia, and Lou Gehrig's disease. And in modern science says, we haven't got a clue as to what causes these diseases. So I thought I would share with you that monosodium glutamate, aspartame, and aspartame are being camouflaged in these food products. Now, I don't care whether you eat the stuff or not. I'm just here to give you the information. What you do with it's your business and life. If you want to keep on eating the stuff, hey, get after it. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. If this is disturbing to you, then you may want to look on these packages and see, does it contain MSG? Now, I happened to look at some chili the other day. I happened to be eating a can of chili, and as I was eating it, one of my students was sitting there, and he said, did you know this chili had MSG? And I said, no, I didn't know that. And he showed me the can. Now, I happen to have a few of these cans on the shelf. I'm not going to eat any more of them. We hadn't noticed the MSG. Now, they didn't camouflage it. It's plainly written on the label, monosodium glutamate. It's plainly on the label. Somehow or another, we bought it and we missed that label. That happens from time to time. That's why I oftentimes read the labels before I pour it into the saucepan to heat it up. In this case, we just totally missed it, which just goes to show you that no matter how hard you look, you know, from time to time, you screw up. Tuck it away in your heart. Now, recent studies have shown that glutamate is the most important neurotransmitter. This monosodium glutamate is a hidden poison. More recent molecular studies have disclosed the mechanism of this distinction in some detail. Early on, it was observed that when neurons in vitro were exposed to glutamate and then washed clean, the cells appeared perfectly normal for approximately an hour, at which time they rapidly underwent cell death. And it was discovered that when calcium was removed from the medium, the cells continued to survive. Subsequent studies have shown that glutamate and other excitatory amino acids attached to a specialized family of receptors, which in turn, either directly or indirectly, opens the calcium channel on the neuron cell membrane, allowing calcium to flood into the cell. If unchecked, this calcium will trigger a cascade of reactions, including free radical generation and eicosanoid production and lipid peroxidation, which will destroy the cell. And with this calcium-triggered stimulation, the neuron becomes very excited, firing its impulses repetitively until the point of cell death. And that's where the name excitotoxin comes from. Now, the activation of the calcium channel by way of the NMDA-type receptors also involves other membrane receptors such as zinc, magnesium, phencyclidine, and glycine receptors. In many disorders connected to excitotoxicity, the source of the glutamate and aspartate is endogenous. We know that when brain cells are injured, they release large amounts of glutamate from surrounding tissue, and that this glutamate can further damage surrounding normal neuronal cells, and this appears to be the case in strokes. It appears to be the case in seizures and other brain trauma. But foodborne excitotoxins can add significantly to this accumulation of toxins. So let me point that out and repeat it again. These foodborne excitotoxins can add significantly to this accumulation of these toxins that are carried in your brain. Here's the Food and Drug Administration's response. In July of 1995, the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology conducted a definitive study for the Food and Drug Administration on the question of safety of MSG. The FDA wrote a very deceptive summary of the report in which they implied that, except possibly for asthma patients, MSG was found to be perfectly safe by the FASEB and the reviewers. But, in fact, that is not what the report said at all. Let me repeat that. That is not what the American Society for Experimental Biology said. But in fact, that's not what the report said. I summarized in detail my criticism of this widely reported FDA deception in a revised paperback edition of my book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, by analyzing exactly what that report said and failed to say. For example, it never said that MSG did not aggravate neurodegenerative diseases. What they did say was there was no studies indicating such a link, specifically that no one has ever conducted any studies. Nobody's ever looked into it before, either positive or negative, to see if there's a link. Now, that's a vital difference, don't you think? Now, what we find here is that there are many gaps in our knowledge concerning the toxicity of these food additive excitotoxins. For example, virtually no long-term studies have ever been done on the neuroendocrine effects of chronic excitotoxin additive feeding in humans. And likewise, there are no studies of regionally distributed brain levels of glutamate, aspartate, and cysteine following chronic excitotoxin feeding. Most importantly, there are no studies of the effect of these excitotoxins on the physiology of the nervous system under conditions of low brain energy supply. So in examining the research literature, virtually all of the studies of this problem, other than behavioral effects, are centered on microscopic pathologic changes and not functional alterations of either the neurons themselves or of the entire brain itself. This is of vital importance, since we know that neurons can have severely altered function without pathological change, as seen on either light or electron microscopy. microscopy. Let me see if I can get that out. Several studies have been done that demonstrate significant alteration in brain neurochemistry with acute MSG exposure. I guess we could use acute MSG poisoning. So that means that you and I, boys and girls, when we sit down to eat a bowl of chili, are laboratory rats used in an experiment. And this experiment's been going on since 1947. And during that period of time, we've seen dramatic rises in such diseases as Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease, have we not? Don't you think maybe it's time that we do some studies before we issue reports that say MSG is totally safe? Maybe it would be prudent if we did some studies to find out, is it really safe? It hasn't been done yet. And of course, when you die, your pathologist will write on your death certificate that, well, this guy died from pneumonia, this guy died from Lou Gehrig's disease, this guy died from AIDS. Nobody ever writes on there, well, the guy died from AIDS, but it was caused by MSG. That isn't on there. And we don't know because it's never been studied. You, boys and girls, and I are the study. We are the laboratory guinea pigs. Well, we'll take a look at the corporate response when we take our break, or right after we take our break. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page at our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at area code 417-273-4967. Remember that free 4-hour introductory CD package. The number again, 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to the authors and publications used on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. Remember, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, just go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. We are reviewing an article, a report by Russell L. Blaylock, M.D. And if you'd like to get a copy of this report, the www, here's their website. It's www.haciendapub.com. It's Article 27. Again, that's www.haciendapub.com/Article 27, written by Dr. Russell L. Blaylock. Here's the corporate response to MSG and aspartame. Unfortunately for the consumer, the corporate food processors not only continued to add MSG to our food supply, but they have gone to great lengths to disguise these harmful additives. For example, they use different names such as hydrolyzed vegetable protein to hide MSG. They use the term vegetable protein or textured protein or hydrolyzed plant protein or soy protein extract in order to hide MSG. They use caseinate, yeast extract, and natural flavoring. Now there's 7 names that are used to hide monosodium glutamate. 7. Let me repeat them again. And if you'd like a copy of this article, why don't you get a copy? Whether you poison yourself or not isn't my responsibility. It's just my responsibility to act as an intelligent watchman who simply says, hey, did you know? And then tell you, all right? And once I've told you, okay, well, now you know. So if you go out and poison yourself after you have been told that that contains poison, that's your problem in life, not mine. But from time to time, I hear people complain and they say, I didn't know. My old dad and I were driving down the road one day. And there was a fellow hitchhiking alongside the highway. And we just zipped right on by him. And I sat there in my seat and I thought to myself, no, gee, here we are driving down the road. And we have an empty back seat. We could have stopped and given that man a ride just to be neighborly. As we were driving down the road a little further, I saw another man hitchhiking, and my dad just zipped right on by him. Didn't slow down, didn't stop. And I thought about that poor fellow walking down the road without a car, without a ride. And we drove down the road a little further, and there's another hitchhiker hitchhiking down the road. Had his thumb out, and my dad goes, run on by him. You know, I couldn't stand it anymore. And I looked over at Dad, and I said, Dad, now we have passed three hitchhikers in the last few miles, and you didn't stop to pick them up or offer them a ride. How come we don't stop to offer those people a ride because the back seat's empty and we've got plenty of room? So my dad, always the pragmatist, looked over at me and he said, how come those three men didn't have an automobile of their own like we do, son? And I said, I don't know, Dad. How come they don't have a car like we do? And he said, well, son, I had to go out and work and earn money. I had to pay my rent, buy food for the family. I had to feed you. I send you to school, a private school, by the way, and I have to pay for all of that. And in order for me to do that, I have to work. And he said, if those people had gone out and gone to work like I did, they could have earned the money to buy an automobile just like I did. And they too could be driving down the road just like we are. But for some reason, they have made a choice. Their choice was they didn't want to work. Or if they did work, they did not want to spend their money on an automobile. They elected to spend their money on something that to them was more important than an automobile. Obviously, then, something is more important than writing. And whatever that is, I don't know what it is that was more important to those men than is important to me. But to me, walking and riding is a very important thing. I don't want to walk, I want to ride. And so I worked and worked hard, and I produced the money to buy this automobile. I made my choice, and my choice was to ride and not walk. Their choice was to walk and not ride. But it was their choice, and they made it. And now they have to live with their decision. And then he went on to say, and besides that, it's not safe to pick up hitchhikers. You never can tell when one of them is going to kill you and steal your car. So why should I stop and give one of those guys a ride? I got nothing to gain and a whole lot to lose. Now, in looking at this problem of MSG, the good doctor here, remember his name is Dr. Russell L. Blaylock, MD, has looked at the MSG aspartame problem, and he says that the FDA, their response is to cover it up, hide it, and the corporate response is to hide it under different names. We're not going to put monosodium glutamate on the label. We're going to put hydrolyzed vegetable protein, textured protein, hydrolyzed plant protein, soy protein extract, caseinate, yeast extract, and natural flavoring, and that's the way we will hide MSG. And the corporations know experimentally that when these excitotoxin taste enhancers are added together, they become much more toxic than when one is used individually. In fact, these excitotoxins in subtoxic concentrations can be fully toxic to specialized brain cells when they are used in combination. And frequently, I see processed foods on the supermarket shelf, especially frozen and diet foods that contain 2 or 3 or 4 types of these excitotoxins. And we also know, as stated above, that these excitotoxins in liquid forms are many more times more toxic than in their solid forms because they are so rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream and they attain high concentration in your blood. So this means that many of the commercial groups and multinational corporations who manufacture commercial soups and sauces and gravies, these liquids that contain this MSG, vegetable protein, textured protein, hydrolyzed plant protein, soy protein extract, caseinate, yeast extract, and natural flavors. This means that many of these products contain MSG in a hidden form and are very dangerous to nervous system health. And they should especially be avoided by those either having one of the above-mentioned disorders or who may be at high risk of developing one of them. They should also be avoided by cancer patients and those at high risk for cancer because of the associated generation of free radicals and lipid peroxidation. Well, excuse me, boys and girls, but let me break in here and say this. It came to my attention some time back that when a patient has a heart attack, the doctor will take him off of pork. Immediately, it came to my attention, I said to myself, well, my God, if pork isn't good for heart patients before they have a heart attack, then, or excuse me, after they have a heart attack, why is it good for them before they have a heart attack? I got to say the same thing here. Now, if this MSG, before you have cancer, seems to be good for you, but when you get cancer, it's bad for you. What makes you believe that this MSG or aspartame is good for you before you develop the cancer? And since one out of every two people in America today is going to develop cancer in his lifetime until the year 2020, when it's going to raise to one out of one, has it ever occurred to us that maybe we already know the answer to this riddle, that MSG, these excitotoxins in disguise, along with aspartame, is actually the cause of these diseases? And, you know, we didn't have these diseases 100 years ago, but they have developed over the last 100 years. Has it occurred to us that maybe what we're seeing here is the deliberate poisoning of America by the Food and Drug Administration and by the multinational corporations? Now, I'm not suggesting that individuals in the FDA or the corporations are sitting there gleefully rubbing their hands saying, oh, good, we are killing more and more people. But are they, in effect, then rubbing their hands and saying, oh, good, we're selling more and more product and making more and more profit, and let us ignore the consequences of our action? Well, Dr. Blaylock says that we ought to, with all deliberate speed, look into it and do some tests. We're not testing it to find out. And those that have tested it have come to a conclusion, and they're ringing the bell, and they're saying, my God, we need to have some really high-level, definitive tests. And meanwhile, back on the farm, I think I'll just stop eating MSG and aspartame and these various and sundry other excitotoxins that are disguised in the food supply. I think I'll stick with organic. We'll talk more about organic as we progress along. In the case of ALS, we know that consumption of red meats, and especially MSG itself, can significantly elevate blood glutamate, much higher than is seen in the normal population. Similar studies, as far as I am aware, have not been conducted in patients with Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease as yet. But as a general rule, I would certainly suggest that persons with either of these diseases avoid MSG or foods containing MSG, as well as red meats, cheeses, and pureed tomatoes, all of which are known to have higher levels of glutamate. Now, it must be remembered that it is the glutamate molecule that is toxic in MSG. Glutamate is a naturally occurring amino acid found in varying concentrations in many foods. And therefore, the defenders of MSG and MSG safety allude to this fact in all of their literature and in their own defense. But remember that it is a free glutamate that is the culprit. Glutamate, when it is bound glutamate found naturally in foods, is less dangerous because it is slowly broken down over time and it is absorbed by our digestive system so that it can be utilized by all of the tissues, especially muscle tissues, before toxic concentrations can build up in our blood. Therefore, a whole tomato is much safer than a pureed tomato. And the only exception to this, based on present knowledge, is in the case of ALS. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Also, the tomato plant contains several powerful antioxidants known to block glutamate toxicity. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein is a common food additive and may contain at least two excitotoxins, glutamate and cystic acid. I guess that's cystic, C-Y-S-T-E-I-C. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein is made by a chemical process that breaks down the vegetable's protein structure to purposefully free the glutamate as well as aspartate, another excitotoxin. This brown powdery substance is used to enhance the flavor of foods, especially meat dishes, soups, and sauces, despite the fact that some health food manufacturers have attempted to sell the idea that this flavor enhancer is all natural, and therefore it is safe because it is made from vegetables. Don't believe it. That's not true. It is the same substance added to processed foods. Experimentally, one can produce the same brain lesions using hydrolyzed vegetable protein as by using MSG or aspartate in laboratory rats and mice. And a growing list of these excitotoxins are being discovered, including several that are found naturally. For example, L-cysteine is a very powerful excitotoxin. Recently, it has been added to certain bread dough and is sold in health food stores as a supplement. Homocysteine, a metabolic derivative, is also an excitotoxin. Interestingly, elevated blood levels of homocysteine has recently been shown to be a major, if not the major, indicator of cardiovascular disease and strokes. Equally interesting is the finding that elevated levels have also been implicated in neurodevelopmental disorders, especially encephalopathy and spinal dysraphism. I don't know how to pronounce that. D-Y-S-R-A-P-H-I-S-M. Dysraphism, I guess it is. For example, neurotube defects. And it is thought that this is the protective mechanism of action associated with the use of the prenatal vitamins B12 and B6 and folate when used in combination. It remains to be seen if the toxic effect is excitatory or by some other mechanism. If it is excitatory, then unborn infants would be endangered as well by glutamate, aspartate, part of aspartame molecule, and the other excitotoxins. Recently, several studies have been done in which it was found that all Alzheimer's patients examined had elevated levels of homocysteine. Now, one interesting study found that persons affected by Alzheimer's disease also have widespread destruction of their retinal ganglion cells. And interestingly, this is the area found to be affected when Lucas and Newhouse first discovered this excitotoxicity of MSG back in the 1940s. And while this does not prove that dietary glutamate and other excitotoxins cause or aggravate Alzheimer's disease, it is certainly very powerful circumstantial evidence. And people have been sent to the electric chair on less circumstantial evidence. Now, when all of the information known concerning excitatory food additives is analyzed, it's very hard to justify continued approval by the FDA for the widespread use of these food additives, much less the general use by corporate America in these food products. In conclusion, in this brief discussion of a most complicated and evolved and evolving subject, I've had to omit several very important pieces of the puzzle. For example, I have said very little about the functional components of the receptor systems. That is the glutamate transporter and its relation to ALS and Alzheimer's dementia, receptor decay with aging and disease, membrane effects of lipid peroxidation products, membrane fluidity, effects of chronic inflammation on the glutamate free radical cycle, stress hormones and excitotoxicity, the role of insulin excess on the system, or the detailed physiology of the glutamatergic system. I've also only briefly alluded to the toxicity of aspartame and omitted its strong connection to brain tumor induction. Remember this bicycle guy, you know, that just won the Tour de France? What's his name? Oh, I forgot his name. I'll come to him in a minute. He had a brain tumor. Young man, you know, in his 20s, come up with a brain tumor. He had cancer, and so they cut the tumor out, treated him for cancer. He was young, had a strong, virile body. He's one of the 37% that survived cancer. The other two-thirds, or roughly two-thirds, die. Wouldn't it be a surprise if we found out that this cancer was caused by these tumors or caused by Alzheimer's, was caused by the excitotoxins? Who in hell ever heard of Alzheimer's disease in 1949, 1955? Oh, it's been around. It's been around. And more than likely, in the few cases that came up, now 3 million Americans have this Alzheimer's disease. Furthermore, we think that it may even have a connection with mad cow disease. Now, the author here says, but I have tried to show the reader that there is a strong connection between dietary excitotoxin excess and neurological dysfunction and disease. Many of these arguments by the food processing industry have been shown to be false. For example, that dietary glutamate does not enter the brain because of exclusion by the blood-brain barrier has been shown to be totally wrong, since glutamate can enter by way of the unprotected areas of the brain, such as the circumventricular organs. And also, as we have seen, chronic elevations of blood glutamate can breach the intact blood-brain barrier. In addition, there are numerous conditions under which the barrier is made incompetent. Over a lifetime of free radical injury due to chronic stress, infections, trauma, impaired blood flow, hypoglycemia, hypoxia, and poor antioxidant defenses secondary to poor nutritional intake, the nervous system is significantly weakened and it is made more susceptible to further excitotoxic injury. And we know the loss of neuronal energy generation is one of the early changes seen with the neurodegenerative diseases. This occurs long before clinical disease develops, but even earlier is a loss of neuronal glutamate functional levels. Now let's think about this for a minute. These poisons don't kill you right away like arsenic or cyanide. They build up over a long period of time. You know, just because you ate a bowl of chili today, like I did, that has MSG doesn't mean I'm going to die. But that MSG is going to be stored in my body fat. That MSG is going to kill neurological cells. I damaged myself when I ate that chili containing MSG. I don't notice the damage over the past 3 or 4 days. But if I continue eating the MSG year after year, do you suppose that maybe by the time I'm 95 or 110, it might have some effect on my body? Well, I don't want to find out. What I want to do is watch you to find out. And that's what I'm doing. I'm watching other people, millions of other people, who are in effect laboratory guinea pigs in America, who are eating MSG in their foods coming out of their supermarkets. I'm watching the increase in cancer from 1 in 31 back in 1900 to 1 out of every 2 people in America today is coming down with cancer. And they tell us that at the rate that it's growing, that by the year 2020, not only another 15 years, it'll be every person in America is going to get cancer once in his lifetime. Do you suppose that this MSG and aspartame, which is just 2 of 87,000 chemicals that we use in this country every year, 87,000 chemicals, do you suppose that maybe all of these chemicals maybe aren't such a good idea after all? Maybe all of these chemicals that we've been ingesting over the past 100 years, you know, live better chemically. I guess it adds to our way of life, doesn't it? Our lifestyle. Then when we die at age 37 or come down with Lou Gehrig's disease and are totally incapacitated, is it really worth it? This knowledge from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is it really as good as we thought it was? Well, the chemical genie, like the nuclear genie, is now out of the jar. I mean, it's out there, boys and girls, whether we like it or not. So the best that little Georgie Gordon can do is to avoid it. And I might not be able to avoid it totally, but I certainly don't have to go out and get involved in it and buy it and participate in it and eat it because it's out there and everybody else does. I think I'll sit back and watch you and see what happens. Well, we're about out of time, boys and girls. We've got to leave it right there. Remember that the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events from the scriptural perspective 7 days a week. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by pre-arrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.